Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hello, welcome to Smosh Asks, where there are no stupid questions. And boy, howdy, that's good because we got a lot of them. Today, we're joined by the director and creative mind, whatever you want to call it, behind the new movie Backrooms. Everyone, Kane Parsons.
Backrooms.
That's how they say it.
That's how you're supposed to say it.
By golly, I can't believe we've entered the back room.
What is this? Some kind of the back rooms?
Is it the back room?
No.
I didn't think so.
It's like the room versus the room.
It's like Cheesecake Factory or the Cheesecake Factory.
Don't you dare.
Well, I don't know. Is it the Cheesecake Factory or Cheesecake Factory?
I think it's the.
It is the Cheesecake Factory. If you go to Cheesecake Factory, their menu is small. Mm. It's a different place.
Kane, thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. It's good to be here.
How many people have called it the back rooms, and do you want to stab them?
No, I mean, well, because it's like an open source thing that anyone can connect with online. Okay. That it's like.
But your movie specifically.
My movie is Backrooms, but like it's not a big. I don't think it rattles the experience.
Was there ever like a discussion? It's like, do we want to call this Backrooms?
No, I pitched it as just Backrooms, and it just was really simply picked up like that. Just
and nobody ever tried to change it.
No, I don't think there'd be any benefit. I hear people frequently like online, just in the discourse, people when someone does misspell it as Backrooms or the Backrooms, sorry. People will say, it should just be Backrooms. That's sleeker. That's, you know.
I think Backrooms is so great.
I personally think Backrooms is more elegant.
I agree.
Have you thought about potential sequel names?
Okay, I unfortunately have. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I don't know. Sequels are tough. Like, I like the way I do it on YouTube, where it's just Backrooms hyphen episode name. Like, that's my preferred
that's
way
what
of
do
doing
it. Smosh Games.
When you're, you know.
Have you ever thought about doing Backrooms, but it's just photos, and you call it Backshots?
You know, I
what was that, our third question today? Or?
Yeah,
was,
you know, I think I gotta, you know, it's been great.
Wait, let's follow this thread.
Maybe we should.
Has anyone ever, like, had sex in the back rooms, do you think?
Oh my God, that's not what I was thinking.
That's
a great question.
What?
If I had to guess, it's, like, probably somehow.
Wait, you meant, like, because he said that, and you guys, what?
We were talking about curveball questions before this.
I had not prepared for these. I didn't prepare for it either. Yeah, because, like, on a plane, you call it, like, the Mile High Club. What would you call
back
it?
Rooms,
the,
like...
What would you call it in the back rooms?
Back... Yeah. I know what you're saying.
Something liminal, like the liminal... liminal team. liminal gang.
Okay.
Really?
I have a question. For someone like me who's not really familiar with the back rooms or back shots... I would like to know, maybe in like 2-3 sentences, like give me like a breakdown of what Backrooms
are. Can I be overly contrived for a second and just ask,
sure,
like what would be, there's like the cultural definition of like, I think there's a bit of context that is helpful, but then there's also, I'll ramble through it.
Because like, you need the context.
Otherwise, like the story in isolation is... Yeah. So essentially, like, the Backrooms originated as this copypasta on 4chan, really just this one initial post where someone had combined an image of sort of a, like, this yellow off, sort of off yellow, like piss yellow. It's not nice to look at. Sort of, you can't tell if it's an office space or like the back of a furniture store or this yellow wallpaper, kind of moldy, gross-looking carpet and a drop ceiling that maybe isn't the most well taken care of. And of course, the fluorescent lights. So like the caption sort of set up the idea of like, if you noclip out of reality, which is like the gaming term, phasing through the surface, you'll end up a big gamer.
So she
I know exactly
it.
What that means.
I've gotten used to having to say noclip a lot, or like explain noclipping.
I'm looking forward to that being
glitch.
A part of the.
You glitch through a wall.
A clip?
Yes.
You glitch through.
A clip is when I glitch through a wall.
Yeah, you phase through existence, and you end up in. It's using gamey language, but I don't think the concept itself has to be boxed into that sort of game space. It's like you fall out of reality, and then boom, you're in this miserable, really monotonous. Just kind of mediocre place in all directions forever. It's like, wow, wouldn't that fucking suck? That'd be terrible.
Like, have you ever been, like, you know where they host events at in hotels and
yes,
stuff?
Yes, yes.
And you're back there and you're like, where the hell am I?
And you get that weird sinking feeling.
Yeah,
it's like it's the relatable feeling of like when you're a kid and like you're too young to fully make memories, but you're like, yeah, my mom brought me to this place and she just like just wait here.
Yes,
and
I'm yes.
like, what the hell is that? It's that vibe.
Yeah.
I know exactly that vibe.
Boom. We're there.
Do you want me to tell you about the vibe?
Yeah.
Okay.
Honestly, yeah, Kane, you sit down for a minute.
Okay. No, I'm listening to
you about that vibe.
This actually directly goes to, okay, I would go to China with my family. Then my mom and my dad would just drop me off in their like office space and just like fluorescent light. And then I would just like be by myself walking through staircases and there'd be just like abandoned like sewing machines. And I just, but somehow like now.
This straight up sounds like a
roof. Rethinking yeah. about it, it was kind of comforting. I don't know. Like I knew I wasn't like completely lost.
But
like,
there weren't any people?
No. There's no people. I don't know why. Maybe it was like a summer, like a holiday break for them. But I get it.
Yeah, well, that's where it sort of started to spiral online. It was around 2019 that original post circulated as a meme. But then it started to obviously like scratch an itch for certain people, for most people, that sort of led into like the whole liminal space photography movement, if you want to call it that, in 2020, where it is what you were just describing. It's like largely dependent on or factoring in like these, you know, feelings that you had around you, like the relationship with the space in the world you lived in as a child and how those memories have obviously sort of, you know, overemphasized certain details and de-emphasized others. So you kind of have like an empty world that no one else lives in anymore that only exists in your brain. So there's a little bit of that. Like, I think a lot of the visual aesthetic language of backrooms and this liminal space, you know, it's a buzzword now. People misuse it all the time, but liminal space photography in general kind of has always trended towards stuff that replicates the look of like Digicam from like the late 90s, early 2000s, and a lot of these, you know, a lot of the stuff that like ranks highest in terms of like people who are celebrating these liminal space images tend to just even be like real estate listings on a website or something, just like front flash photography, broken white balance, and it's just not really intended to be like a meaningful thing, but suddenly you're like, wow, I had a profound relationship with this little crack next to the doorway in my childhood home next to this rusty fridge. Yeah. So it's stuff like that.
This is so beautiful, I'm gonna cry. And,
but yeah. That's one aspect.
Well, you had like a straight up backrooms experience as a kid.
Yeah, are we thinking the same thing when they put me in the garage?
Well, I wasn't gonna say that. But I mean, this like multi-story building of sewing machines and nothing else.
Yes, nothing else. But I think in China there was a lot of these like factories that weren't being used and, and people were renting it. And like I would just go and while my parents were busy, I would just like walk around and see what I could find.
Because you watch a lot of like urban exploration, especially like abandoned places. Yeah. And I know in China there's like, well, and also in America, there's all these like abandoned superstructures, like malls or offices. And that to me exemplifies.
It always gives you that
the liminal
like,
where it's like,
feeling
like this shoot, it's like you can almost hear like, this is gonna sound so pretentious. When you hold up like a seashell to your ear and you hear the ocean, it's like that,
yeah.
You hear like the crowd that was once there.
Yeah, exactly. It's the subtractive nature of it. But I think like the backrooms is obviously it's giving form to that general sort of nebulous group of ideas, and it's like one specific example of, okay, here's a concept that could be an engine for a story. There's no characters presented. There's nothing really tagged onto that. It's just like, honestly, it worked better as a game concept for a while, and that's what people were doing with it. I'm like, I didn't really interact with a lot of it until 2021 when I did that first short. But when I did, and suddenly it started doing really, really well, which I had not anticipated whatsoever. I thought it was going to major flop compared to... I had been in the groove of doing these Attack on Titan animations for
a while. Those are so sick.
I appreciate it. Yeah, I had a lot of fun making those, but like I felt like I'd burnt through all of like the main plot beats that would... You know, I was trying to be thoughtful about it. It's like, you know, if it's supposed to be this historical war footage, then like you can only have so many scenarios where you could place someone with a camera before you're just like, you're done. You're out of options.
If you had to decide like a scent in backrooms, what does it smell like?
I don't have a great vocabulary for scents, so I can't like describe it as someone who, you know, is like a wine connoisseur could. But I...
You don't have to Yankee Candle.
Kind of like a... I like to think it's a bit... it's somewhere between a retirement home and a Home Depot.
I love the smell of Home Depot.
Well, it's such a juxtaposition.
Well, hold on, because the Home Depot smells different depending on the section you're in.
Yes.
Because if you're in the wood section, it's a lovely...
It's not the wood
section. Okay, not the wood
section. Oh.
like the doors section
it's probably like the light fixtures. Chandelier section.
Yeah. Chandelier section.
Oh, no.
So it's like... And retirement home is not good.
What if you're walking through the back rooms and you just walk by like an incredible scent? Like, is that possible?
Yeah, wouldn't that be a mind screw?
Probably.
Is it? Do you think that would be dangerous?
It's funny when we. I love answering questions. It's funny talking about it.
We got a lot of them.
As though this is like a. Because I noticed this on the last one we did, which was like, man, I'm talking about this like it's a real thing, and I found that very funny. I think maybe like yes, inside of my, and I have to correct myself because some people came after me for
sure.
I am not the creator of the backrooms. I have never claimed to be the creator of the backrooms.
Right.
I don't want to be the creator of the backrooms.
It's just so cool that you
I made a web
the
series.
Yeah.
It somehow spiraled into a movie. We're not, you know, grabbing anyone's copyright. We're not doing anything insane.
Well, there is no creator of the backrooms because it was a collective
I just have
thing.
To, I have to say it out loud in, like, plain language. Right. Otherwise, we're still going to get comments
this
about
is Kane Parsons' backrooms.
You're going to have to do like
they did with the mummy. Like
I want to have a backroom.
That one guy's mummy.
Lee Cronin's.
Yeah, anyone can
Lee
have a backroom.
Cronin's mummy. John
how Carpenter's. Do I start making a backroom?
I mean, you can kind of probably just connect, like, several ideas and say it out loud, and then boom.
Okay,
like,
you're in the backroom short that Shane made.
I am.
Yeah, okay.
You were living there.
Okay.
You're like the toilet
I
or
have
whatever.
To, okay, I was sitting there on the toilet. I think backrooms, my backrooms, the temperature would be like a 77 degrees.
Ooh.
Kind of humid.
Humid.
Because okay. I don't want to be, like, if it's cold, I don't want to be alert and awake. I kind of want to be like really cozy and comfortable and like not wanting to leave backrooms. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If it's like a summer vibe.
I don't think she wants to leave the back rooms.
Yeah.
I think
there's good reason, you know, for that becoming a conversation point with the back rooms. I think obviously.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The backrooms is a thing. Like, being very focused outside of all the liminal space, like, hearkening to childhood stuff, it's very much become, conceptually, this thing that is playing on the, I think, the anxiety that we have as, you know, I don't want to say a species because it is fairly region-locked. Like, at least the discourse around it is somewhat region-locked. But like, I think the anxiety that's coming out more and more surrounding just where we're at in terms of, you know, the general sense of industrialization of things and the corner-cutting we've been doing for, like, hundreds and hundreds of years. And, like, obviously, I think you can track the trajectory that the species has been on for a long time. But just now, people are starting to kind of verbally lose their minds about it a little bit more. They're not losing their minds truly. Like we're still alive and we're breathing and things are going okay. Like there's room to turn the
uh-huh.
ship. But
uh-huh.
but generally speaking, regardless of, you know, if it's just a few select people making the majority of the decisions, these people are also, like, you know, born into a world of people that they never met, and it's not like it's actually being steered by anyone.
It's kind of like
mostly
it's like the loss
drift.
Of the shared space.
It's a drift. Yeah.
That I think is what a lot of this is preying on, of like, you know, once people shared the space, no longer.
It's a loss of that, but I guess in the interpretation I like to look at, I also look at it as sort of a, you know, I think the backrooms is very much, you know, this is being very simple about it and maybe a little bit obvious, but like, you know, why would we even fascinate or get freaked out over like this kind of environment in the first place? It's because it's pointedly mundane. It's pointedly everywhere. It's like a very mundane, monotonous, mass-produced sort of environment. Like drop ceilings are a symbol of efficiency.
I guess it's like an uncanny valley kind of thing.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Where it's so normal, but there's something slightly off about it that it just makes you want to kind of like. There's something about it.
It's like something, and this isn't like a narrative thing I would read into, but it's like a. It's like something trying to like cosplay as a building somehow. It's like,
right,
it's almost there. And it's like I like to think that in, you know, at least in my design philosophy with the way we build these spaces, is like everything is you know, very clearly human made in some capacity. Like the materials are all there and everything makes sense. It's not like you break a wall and it's just a void because you traveled outside of, you know, the range of vision. But it's like there's things that just no human would choose to design. It's like, why would the stair, it's like Winchester Mystery House nonsense, where you've got stairs going to nowhere.
Have you been
or
there?
Like a, or like a crevice that's too small for even a chair to fit in. Just stuff like that. That's clearly not.
But I think you going back and saying, Sarah, going back to you saying that you like being asked questions about it because people treat it like it's a real place. I think that's why your specifically vision of it has taken off in a way, because you do treat it as a real place, at least like with the consistency of a real place, like a scientific approach that you could take to a real place. And it's like, that's what I've always liked in horror, like in The Exorcist. They approach it with such science and facts. And when that kind of falls apart, then it's like, what do we have now? And that's kind of what, you know, the whole Backroom series is, you know, these super smart people, these corporations, these very real things trying to understand something. And when that's kind of not working the way they plan out, then you have, thus the horrors.
Have you seen Smosh the movie?
I did, actually.
Oh, no.
Oh, wait.
I did.
You got it at Walmart?
It's inspired the entire...
It actually did. It's
great.
Have you seen Ghostbusters?
Well, no, sorry.
I did a long time.
I need to go further down this track.
No. I watched it when it came out, I think.
Whoa. Huge.
I was 10.
Okay, so...
You're the demo.
I gotta ask, you have... Two of the actors in your movie have been nominated for Oscars. Mm-hmm. Are you jealous that Smosh the movie had even larger star power like Stone Cold Steve Austin and Markiplier?
Dude, I'm, you know.
Are you so jealous?
I'm fine. I'm fine, man. I swear I'm fine.
I did buy the Stone Cold Steve Austin Fortnite skin recently.
Dude, hell yeah.
I'm deeply envious and you know.
Which one's the one with T-Pain?
Not even...
Ghostmates.
Ghost,
you have Michael Ian Black in Smosh the Movie 1.
Yeah. And Jenna Marbles.
Yeah.
We all miss Jenna Marbles.
I do deeply appreciate, you know, having... I know this is going to start to happen. You know, Iron Lung just happened and now this, and then there's some other stuff in the works. But, like, I just superficially, as someone who grew up from 2005 through the internet, is like, I do like seeing people from, you know, from the YouTube creator space ending up in more dramatic positions within the world, which is obvious, but like, I don't always love meta commentary and stuff in that space, but I...
Meaning
I feel like it can be a bit of, you know...
Self-referential.
Yeah, it's too... I hate derivative self-referential stuff that can come from that.
You're talking about Smosh the Movie.
No.
It was pretty meta.
I think that was the only place it could have gone at that time. Like,
I
it
mean,
had
more
to
like
do
now,
that.
But,
yeah,
but,
now if, yeah.
Yeah.
Has anyone ever shown you a Backrooms tattoo?
Yeah. Oh, a bunch of them.
How does that even work?
I don't know.
A little squiggly cookie?
I mean, it varies. I mean, it's not, I think it's, I don't know if anyone's done that. I know they've done like the Rolling Giant, which is from the oldest view of this
that
series. That's a project.
Did that make you scaled?
Means a
that
lot.
That made me scaled.
A tattoo
I
made you
would, in terms of the stuff on YouTube, I would say that's my personal favorite thing I've ever done.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, it's probably my personal favorite just in general, like the kind of thing I've spent a year working on and obsessing over. I love this film, but that one is like goes to a very, you know, sort of, I'd say, special, rare place that you can only get from doing a YouTube web series. So,
yeah. What do you think is the scariest thing you've ever seen?
Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Well, too much. Yeah. Too much.
No, I...
Oh, with the face?
Yeah, it was just a really not great picture of a severed head.
Oh my gosh!
Oh, just like
scariest movie.
Yeah. So
it was a picture of Hereditary.
Yeah.
Sorry. I mean, I guess like most of us that probably is because you know we all came up on the internet around the time when it you'd just be looking around and be like, oh, that's a person that got rolled over by a tank.
Okay. Hey. Sorry about that.
You never saw that?
How do you get into like the mindset of like starting your day and like having to direct and like be in that space?
Yeah. I mean, let me think for a second.
Did you have a writer?
Yeah, there was a writer on the project.
No, a writer. Like, oh, you know, like, did you get to request stuff on in your trailer or whatever?
A dude that brings you to set on a motorcycle.
Yeah.
Do you have a writer?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I had an assistant, and everyone was just generally helpful, but...
What's your favorite thing
that
you ate?
What's your
favorite thing that you ate on set?
Just two completely different questions.
Yeah, two... okay.
Whichever one you answer first when is your favorite question.
But don't forget about the question that I just asked.
Yeah. Okay, so maybe I can find a way to leave them together.
There's no way.
I would... when we started, you know, we did a test shoot before anything else, like before we got greenlit, before like all of this was done up in Vancouver. So I went up to Vancouver and we did like a very small skeleton crew, just like 2-day little shoot. There's obviously a lot of questions going through my head because I had never really worked with, you know, I guess like I was overcompensating in my head or like over fixating on like, what does it mean to actually direct a set of people? And like, you know, what are the customs I should be abiding by? And what do I not know? Oh my God, there's probably like a billion things I don't know.
Yeah.
And so I was like, you know, trying to figure out all the formalities and, the, you know, how much of what to do. And so when we actually went there, I was like, oh, wait, these are just a bunch of people and I get along with all of them and we can just talk about things and I know what I want. So I just tell them what we want and I give them like a reason why we want it. So it's just like a, you know, here's how we, and then suggestions about how we maybe do it quickly. And that kind of just like, I'm just describing what directing
it
is.
Didn't
now.
It didn't feel overwhelming.
No. As soon as like the human element became clarified and it wasn't just like an ambiguous group of like overly serious crew who are there to kill me. It's like suddenly like, oh wait, I fucking love these people. This is awesome.
Yeah.
This is so nice.
You can answer his next question, which is.
Then we just had fun. And they introduced me to Cactus Club, which I was not familiar with, but I went to Vancouver.
Wait, is it that soda?
No, it's no. It's got their things in Vancouver. It's this parasitic organism. It's like, they've got all of these Cactus Club built. It's a restaurant, it's a chain restaurant. And they're like, something's not right up there. They're like, there's like people disappearing and then they've got like, they serve the burgers there and it's.
Wait, this is your movie or this is real life?
What?
This is the squeakquel, but this for right now.
No, it was like, no, I just went up there and never heard of it, but everyone was like.
Disappearing?
No, I'll make that bit up.
Okay.
But no, like there's this chain that's just everywhere and everyone was having it. It's all we ate every single day.
Is it a cult, do you think?
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's
sometimes cults will run like delis.
And they're spreading into the States.
What kind of food do they serve?
Cactus Club?
Yeah.
Or is it like, or is it like a Mormon thing?
I don't think it's a Mormon thing.
Mm. What kind of food is it?
Yeah.
It's like every kind of food.
It's like the Cheesecake Factory.
But not the Cheesecake Factory.
But it's like business. It's like for like, you know.
Oh, it's like fancy kind of?
It's like fancy, but it's accessible fancy. So it's not
Cheesecake Factory.
Yeah,
Cheesecake Factory.
Yeah.
There is something a little liminal about a Cheesecake Factory.
That is true.
Hold on. We just entered into.
Oh, shit. You don't like cheesecake.
Have you ever had Cheesecake Factory?
So, you know, what was the other question?
The other question was, what was your favorite thing? It's not bad that you haven't had it.
I've never been.
Let's cut. You've done a few interviews now with Smosh.
Yes, I have.
Which one's your favorite so far?
Before you answer that question, hold on. Before you answer that question.
Thank you for saying. Well, you already said this one. You,
no.
I said this one.
Okay.
Said this one.
This was my favorite.
Okay, great.
Anthony's in there. He's really pissed.
What's wrong with mine?
Shane bursts in the other door.
I can't see. The lights are blinding. I can't see if there's someone
just
back there.
Just propels from the ceiling.
Yeah. Upside down.
Shane,
what'd
Shane
you say?
Burst through the wall.
Yeah. He insisted on having one of those in the new studio space, and now
the honest answer is like those. Oh, wait a minute. I just remembered the thumbnail for the first one.
Oh.
Viral at 16.
Viral at 16.
Yeah, so you know what? You know what?
That's what they said about me when I got HPV.
What the hell?
Oh, what?
HPV is a real thing. You know that.
Yeah. So are the back rooms.
So are
you should have gotten a Gardasil shot.
Yeah.
And Gardasil should be a Pokemon name.
Oh my God, there should be a Gardasil shot little corner in the back rooms.
Yeah.
Wait, you weren't even born until like Gen 4.
I thought you were gonna say like until the Gardasil shot came.
He missed Gen 1, Gen 2, Ruby Sapphire.
Okay, no, okay, I'm sorry.
Gardasil doesn't exist anymore, so it's actually perfect.
What do you mean Gardasil doesn't exist anymore?
I don't think they do Gardasil shots anymore.
I just got my second round recently.
No, RFK hasn't done that much.
Sorry, that's still got Gardasil. You can't learn that.
Did you see the shot of RFK
for my
holding
third round.
The bird?
I have to wait for another
few
months.
So, wait, are you sure Gardasil's still a thing?
Yeah, dude.
Damn.
Well, they're injecting him with something.
He's got his blood.
Yeah. If it's not Gardasil, I don't know what Planned Parenthood's been putting into me, so we'll find out.
Planned Parenthood in, okay.
Have you ever been to Planned Parenthood?
And are you having a good time with us?
I'm having a lovely time.
Really?
Thank you, Jane.
This is fantastic.
Oh my God, that's
great. What's your favorite ice cream
flavor? He's having a good time.
Mint. Any kind of mint.
Mint chocolate chip, hell yes. No one does. Are high fives okay? Do you consent to high five?
Hey, because you know sometimes when you're brushing your teeth,
yeah.
You're just like, I could swallow this.
Some people hate that, but I.
I do, people do talk about like, oh, it reminds me of toothpaste. I'm like, it's a totally different.
People always say that. People always say that, and they're so wrong.
It's cold.
It's such a foolish, foolish thing to say, and I judge people as people.
Oh, and I'm gonna oust myself now. What, black licorice?
Love it.
Yeah.
Have you had like proper,
it's very
like
Scandinavian
Dutch, like
the salted ones?
Yeah.
Oh my god, it's so good.
Yeah.
Can't stand.
Oh my gosh.
Well, you're uncultured.
Yeah.
What about pistachio or pumpkin?
Dude, pistachio ice cream?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Pumpkin ice cream? Pumpkin?
Yeah.
Wait, why, what is the relationship? Why are they mentioned together?
Olivia's just saying B words now.
They're really both good.
Hey! Kane, actually, I have a...
Oh, wait, okay.
Six, seven?
All right.
Yeah.
Is 6'7" in Backrooms?
We had... Oh, God.
We struck pay dirt.
Yeah, there's a home address where the leaves are blocking and only the numbers visible are 6'7".
No.
And
that's in
the yeah.
That was not deliberate and
whoa.
Dude, we're gonna be in the theater. No,
it's,
dude, this could be
crazy
this could be
much,
the next
like,
chicken jockey.
I think there's a few of them in the film. It's hard
amazing
not to.
How much that was like, that's so stupid. And then I started doing it ironically, thinking if people my age do it, it'll go away faster. And now I'm just like, yeah, like it's the monkey thing.
I still don't know what it is.
Exactly.
That's okay.
And that's correct.
It's okay. That's fine.
Actually, I do have a question for you. This is one that I did prep. It's sort of a would you rather. Hmm. It is a would you rather.
Okay.
Would you rather unlimited bacon, but no games? Okay, well, you're getting ahead of me.
I'm sorry.
Or just let me finish. Or unlimited games, but no games. Now you know where I was gonna go with
that. I know where you're going with that.
Is the meme PS3 has no games or PS4 has no games?
It's PS5.
If PS4 has no games.
It's PS5.
But PS5 is the sequel to PS4 has no games.
Spencer, I believe we have a question in the chamber, okay. And I'm gonna need this answer.
Wait, I know. What's my answer supposed to be? The man in my voice is in my ear is not the voice in my ear is not telling me what to respond with.
Well, don't worry. I have another question for you.
I need this answer first. Kane,
give me the question again.
Okay,
this is important.
Would you rather unlimited bacon but no games, or games unlimited games but no games?
That was a different question. I think I don't think you asked that.
Games unlimited games but no games. Final
okay.
answer.
I like it. I respect that.
This guy's good.
I respect it.
You know.
Thank you.
I think it's the smart choice. I think it's the
You know the meme? It's like, get A24 on the horn? It's like, you did that IRL.
Yeah, you really did.
Working with them has been cool.
Yeah.
It's been pretty cool. I mean,
are you the youngest A24 director?
I don't count. People say it.
I think you are.
What do you mean you don't count it?
No, I mean, like, I don't check.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because I don't think...
I don't think
Robert Eggers was viral at 16.
Robert Eggers was 14 when he made The Bitch.
No, he wasn't.
Yeah, he was.
No, he was.
Yeah, he was.
What?
You ever heard of Boss Baby?
Lighthouse at 17.
Okay, see, I'm so gullible. Like,
Robert Eggers was
14.
These
were all YouTube series. All of these were YouTube series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This was the whole thing.
Oh, so you stop it.
She caught on.
You jump in the pond, you silly goose.
Would you be excited if the next Backrooms was produced by Universal and it was a crossover with Fast and Furious?
I'm actually entertaining that. Not that in like actually, just like
we gotta get out of the Backrooms.
We're gonna need a whole lot of spaghetti to do it. Chernobyl, like it's.
I'm seriously now thinking through the steps of how you could actually make something okay out of that.
Mm.
Hell yeah.
It seems like a
think about terrible
program. Olivia, this was way better than what you were about to ask.
Absolutely.
You could. The principle of the idea, though, no, definitely not.
Wait, what about, okay. You know how they used to do more kind of horror team-ups, you know, they did like Freddy versus Jason, Alien versus Predator.
Scooby-Doo
like,
meets Don Knotts.
Yeah, like there was like a long-standing, or you know, they did Ring versus The Grudge in Japan.
Versus Capcom.
Exactly. So yeah. It's like, what would you want to see? Who is like who could take on the Backrooms?
Mr. Beast.
Yeah, like Mr. Beast. Like
that's not. I'm not even kidding. I want that. I want to do a film. I want Jimmy to be the actual person who has to deal with
this. That harkens back almost to like that. Abbott and Costello meet the Mummy or things like that.
Yeah.
Like this is a timeless. Like also, you always have the big pop culture versus
of the time.
Yeah, like
I don't know what it is where someone's fighting a building. Like I'm sure that's a trope as old as time. But
Godzilla.
But you know. Yeah, but like there's more building. There's like more building than Godzilla.
I was gonna say King Kong, but I think in the way it kinda helped him a bit.
Or San Andreas, The Rock versus natural disaster.
Oh, dude, the Kool-Aid man. Oh, there's so many walls in the back room.
Holy
so
shit. Right. That's
Wait.
Yeah.
Okay.
That one's big.
That might be it.
Yeah.
That might be. I don't know what his goal is though, because there's nothing to break to the other side of. It's just he can keep going. It's like
it's an internal struggle.
It's an empty pursuit. It's like will. But it's life though. It's like there's always a another wall, but there's never a, what's on there? There's never
that's
an
what
end.
Makes you really think.
But when, like, X-Men 3, when the Juggernaut runs through all those walls.
It'd be like that.
Walls.
It'd be like that. Just keep
going.
Okay.
I almost wore my Universal Monster shirt today, and I thought that'd be too on the nose. Would have that have been perfect instead?
I'm wearing my Mummy shirt.
And I saw that, and I immediately thought, okay, well, that's more Universal. It's
Did
a good thing I didn't
that
do that.
Him?
Now we talked about it,
no.
I'm like, damn.
Oh, you just wore that for yourself.
What if I showed up in a Lee Cronin's The Mummy shirt?
I have my Hereditary shirt in my bag.
You like, what?
I have my Hereditary shirt in my bag.
Okay, well, that's a good movie.
Well.
Oh, my gosh.
Blade Runner.
Blade Runner.
You wear shirts, too?
Sick.
I wear shirts.
Okay, so have you watched the director's cut of Blade Runner?
No.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
Have you watched the one with the voiceover?
Some of it.
And one without the voiceover?
I've seen the one without the voiceover.
Do you think he's a replicant or not?
Yeah.
That's been confirmed.
Yeah, no, they've blurred together, but I've, yeah.
Dude, spoilers. Okay. I was kidding.
Do you like 2049?
Oh.
Do you like 2046?
Do you like Cyberpunk 2077?
I haven't had time to play it after all
you
these
know
years.
What? You know what's crazy? I finally played it, like, what was it? I was texting you like four months ago. Now that it's all been updated and everything's all ready
it's
to go.
It's great.
It's a good experience. And you don't have everyone else in your ear playing it at the same time, being like, have you found the thing yet? Oh, you gotta do it. Yeah. You can just play.
And Phantom Liberty is...
Wow. It really is.
So
you know, it's really good, though, the anime.
Yeah, the anime
it
rocks.
Actually,
yeah.
Did you watch that?
Yeah. Do you like anime?
I do, but not particularly more than any other.
A guy. Yeah.
I don't, I have a hard time saying, like, I specifically like anime because I guess I just like any form of storytelling equally.
That's my answer with anime stuff.
It's all the same. It's like, if it's a good fucking story, it's a good story.
Who's the hottest anime character?
That's, let me think.
The cart titan.
What's the hottest story?
It's the cart titan.
I was going to say the wall.
The wall?
The wall in Attack on the Wall.
I need like
the
visuals. Pretty, do you know what they're talking about?
Sexy. Yeah, we all do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I didn't, so here's my, you know, I never finished Attack on Titan.
I'm two episodes away from the finish.
Oh, wow.
You haven't finished it?
You just said that you didn't.
Well, I thought
this was a safe place.
It's not my thing.
It's not my thing. I'm not in that.
Yeah, I read a lot of the manga though, and you know.
Okay.
I read it more than I watched it.
Yeah, I enjoyed the manga.
Yeah.
Do you read a lot of manga?
Don't have time.
Yeah.
I'd like to read a
He's
lot.
Booked
more.
And busy.
No, you really are, and I mean, what a great problem to have.
It's a good problem to have, but I've been fighting for like I need like a month this summer just to.
Are
read.
You good?
What
are
you gonna release? Just make music.
Yeah, music and read and just be in the woods.
Do you want to direct the next Smosh movie?
Do you want to direct Smosh the movie too?
Are you having a good time?
I'm having a really good time.
Are you sure?
This is a lot of fun.
Would you want to come back?
Yeah, of course. I do a fourth one.
Is this your favorite interview?
Is there like a gun on me somewhere?
Yeah, Shane is just waiting up there. So.
It feels like a test. This is starting to feel
He's
like
He's got to come down like Lady Gaga in the Super Bowl.
In a meat dress.
Okay, listen. If you guys give me an okay thumbnail this time,
hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Viral at 20.
Yeah, youngest A24 director, and he's like, I guess.
It's like, I should be standing on Ari Aster.
That one image. I have... Anthony, that one image.
I made a thumbnail myself.
You did that?
Oh, throwing yourself under the bus.
Wait, Anthony, come.
I have not been able to escape that for years.
What's wrong with the thumbnail?
That exact photo gets edited a billion different ways.
What's wrong with the thumbnail?
He fought for it, too.
You fought?
He fought for it?
I needed that.
Oh, my God. Anthony.
What was wrong with it?
People say I look like a homunculus there. They don't recognize my face.
Oh, no.
I don't either. I don't know who that is.
Though.
It's a different person.
You do a better thumbnail this time.
I recognize myself. It's a
Give
very base human
now.
Instinct.
Do
to
face now. Do the face now. To be the thumbnail.
No.
We're going to liquefy tool it.
Dude, the good news is
look exactly
the homunculus can be anything. And that's cool.
That's going to be face.
Someone said I looked like human Shrek.
No!
No! People have said that about me before. People have said that about me and Smosh comments, and I'm like, I think that's maybe the most painful thing I've ever had said about me on the internet.
Oh,
no, it's been said. It's a good thing.
I see
thing,
you.
Okay?
You are enough.
Oh my gosh.
And we see you no matter how a thumbnail sees you.
Yeah.
Yes. You guys, the thumbnails, I don't look like myself on the thumbnails.
No, that's what I mean. It's very jarring.
Like somehow they make me look really, really bad.
The interview was great though.
Thank you.
What about my Photoshop skills?
Anthony's
they're probably
the
good.
What was your thumbnail process like when you were making the original YouTube series?
I literally just pull open the media. I just open the file, scrub it, and just open snipping tool and just grab.
And you were like, that's like, were you, and every time you're like, that's the one.
Yeah, I would do like, I would get indecisive for like 15 minutes, pick, look at five, and like they didn't offer for, until recently, like the multiple.
The A-B
like,
testing.
The A-B testing. So it's just like, yeah, this is the one. This is, I don't know. I would kind of just be able to gravitate towards a single visual that was clear enough. And the stuff that had yellow backrooms, which is not all the videos, like without a doubt perform a million times better than backrooms videos without the backrooms in the thumbnail. So, you know, it's a little bit of needing to like raise the saturation a tiny bit because it's like you're like jingling keys.
What was your initial feeling like when you got on a set and you saw that they built basically what you imagined?
Well, yeah, our production office was connected to the sound stages we were, you know, shooting in. And I would say about a good half of the film is not shot inside. It's like the outside world. So it's the outside world. We were going to do all that filming up front first, and then we would move on to the stage for the second half. And so like during prep, we had like, you know, 2 months-ish of prep where I designed all the sets in Blender. And so it's like all pretty one for one for what we actually built. So we would go out there and like gradually as I'd be like, you know, discussing with Danny Vermette, our art department head, who's great, everyone was great, but we would like, you know, go back and forth, maybe I would inch this wall over a little bit if we had to adjust for, you know, like a fire lane or something. And when we did that, it was like we would lay out tape, we would walk the distance, we would set up some markers to see how long, you know, with camera tests, Jeremy Cox, the DP, and I would like make sure that if we wanted the hallway to feel long, like we would go and check those points before we would. And then if it didn't feel long enough, we would like shrink the hallway a tiny bit so we would get the look we wanted.
Were you doing like camera tests in Blender? Like, you know, working with like focal lengths
like
and
previs?
Stuff?
Yeah,
yes, there was a big part of that. Like that drove the shot listing and everything. Like the shot listing was all Blender for the most part. Not all, but a majority of it was. And like, you know, the lighting all looks pretty similar to what we had on the day because we would scan all our locations as well. And I would try to, when I had time, like just remodel them myself so we would have full lighting control. Mm. And Blender's great, so it looks like reality.
How much are you
sleeping? During this time, like an okay amount, probably like 7 hours, it slowly tapered. Oh.
Hey, we love a well slept.
Yeah, that's
nice.
At this time.
Okay.
In post, it was about 20 hour work days or so.
How much were you
at the end? Sorry?
Were you editing?
I wasn't cutting the film, no. But I over and I got way too hands on with some VFX and I was co scoring the film, so.
Really?
So, there was a lot of stuff at the very end. You know, with any film, it's not simply following the blueprint of the script. It's you know, it's a fluid thing that changes pretty constantly the entire time, often in big ways, all in ways that are consistent with like the you know, the spear of the vision and like what, you know, I kind of wanted from the outset. But, you know, some things have to be lost and some things when you do that, like will shift position and you start to just re-sculpt the film as you go into something that is, you know, I would just endorse as an overall better experience. So definitely the creative doesn't end when you finish the script. It kind of starts.
Sure. Yeah, definitely.
I have a question about the creative process where it is something that was originally, like you said, open source. And I know yours is Backrooms, then there is the Backrooms. So sorry to do this, but nerding in a different direction. I like Pokemon stuff a lot. And then oftentimes people will be like, why haven't they made one that looks like this? Why can't this one evolve into that? And people make fan art of it, and then they post it online, and it looks real, and everyone's like, whoa, Nintendo should do that. I have heard that they then can't do that because someone else has already designed like that thing. So what is it like, you know, making a movie based off of this concept where, you know, I know you have your own iteration of it, but did you have to like avoid seeing things online and just being like, damn it, like someone already said that thing and now it can't be my thing? Was that ever an issue?
No, there's never really been an issue with this series. I would say you know, everything structural and I would say like narratively and thematically meaningful, I sort of determined, I don't strictly mean the film, I just mean the IP at large, because it's all a series and the film is just an episode of the series and it's all, you know, heading towards something. And I like to start from the end and go backwards. So it's, you know, for years, it's all kind of been pretty solid and hasn't really been fluctuating or changing. So I wouldn't say there's ever like that exactly. Mm-hmm. And just given how, you know, specific my version of the Backrooms is compared to, like, all the, there's so many different interpretations of it that I just think there's maybe not, like, specific comps. There's definitely, like, inspiration I've taken from works of science fiction and whatnot here and there, and just, like, general reading, because I was 16 when I started it, I'm 20 now, and so I've spent time, obviously, growing as a person and
sure.
understanding more about the world, so there's plenty of new ideas that have, like, been tagged onto this thing and have been woven in, but I wouldn't say any of them are, like, run the risk of being like one for one with any actual creative proposals.
We've just kind of cornered the market in a, to put it in broad
terms.
There's
a lot of, I think there's a few people who are far more talented, like 3D artists than I am making videos and stuff, and they get like no views. So it's like, it's not view wise and obviously, you know, view dominance wise, I think that's usually true-ish these days, which I don't feel great about personally.
Do you watch a lot of the other, like your kind of peers doing like the analog horror? Like I know there's a lot of, selfishly, I watch a lot of like the Jurassic Park ones or the dinosaur analog horror ones.
I haven't had a lot of time to watch like much of anything in the past year. Funny enough, ever since I started Backrooms, okay, here's what it is. I guess I like veered away from watching other analog horror projects.
Okay, sure. Yeah.
Not necessarily Backrooms though.
Okay.
Backrooms was like, I was neutral seeing stuff about, but I think there is obviously the, you know, I hate the stupid primate brains, you know, comparison bias.
I have a small, like, I'm realizing it's going to be a pitch, and so I'm sorry, but take it and use it how you will. So, like, Backrooms concept, a little
but
scary.
Now if you say it, can I not use it?
I guess you probably can't. Oh,
okay,
we're going back
so
to
get him
question.
Out of here.
oh, man.
Bring the big...
So,
go get a Cheesecake Factory.
Yeah, I'll go bring a Cheesecake Factory.
Cheesecake Factory.
Like, Backrooms, a little bit spooky. It's this, like, unnerving vibe. But have you ever thought about twisting it into, like, a positive way? Because I have this recurring dream all the time where I'm, like, moving into a new space. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, this is my apartment. And I'll, like, open up something and find, like, another huge room. And I'm like... oh, cool, like, this is my apartment? And then there'll be a staircase leading into another thing, and I'm like, oh, I've got all this stuff. So, like, I'm thinking, you know, not Mr. Beast, but Mr. Beast style, where it's like, hey, you get this cool little box, but look inside, and then there's just more and more, and you're like, this is your interdimensional.
That's kind of how they're trying to sell the Backrooms to the government. They're like, you can use all this space.
Yeah, that's very much, like, so when I look at this series, and, you know, the way I treat the concept, I don't specifically go out of my way to like market as horror or advertise myself as such. When I look at it, it's something that you can sort of derive that level of positivity and optimism from. You know, again, like the mission with this project was to approach it from more of a like a hard sci-fi human drama perspective. So it's, I think it's not out of the question that you would have, you know, certain ways of looking at this where in accordance with just real life, if the only weird impossible thing was, boom, you've got a strange doorway, you know, you're working at this MRI startup in 1990 and you just burn a hole through the wall and suddenly now there's a building on the other side. There's like a billion questions that would come before you even arrive at the assumption that this is some kind of alternate universe and it's full of monsters and strange happenings. It's like, you would immediately just be like, was there a building next to us?
Is this free building.
What? You wouldn't be able to, there'd be a million steps that you'd have to take before you would even decide that there's something negative. And oftentimes, on the other side of something negative, like, there might be a hope to, you know, like, okay, maybe there's bad stuff in here, but...
like, could we live here?
We could overcome and adapt and find a way if we could just figure out what every single negative thing is, we can just find a counter to it, and then just, you know, it's space, so let's just tear down all these walls, tear down the floor, the ceiling, the everything. We don't need any of this stuff. We can maybe, like, burn some of it.
There's so much money in parking.
Yeah, or just, like, you could use it for so many different things, and I think there's kind of... It gets talked about as, like, an all-purpose box in some ways.
So you know how like a lot of movies will do tie-ins with fast food restaurants? And they'll do like, you know, like K-pop Demon Hunters, like Happy Meal.
Mm.
Yes. It'll come with like a little like a toy. What would be your like ideal fast food Backrooms crossover collab? What restaurant? What would be the combo meal? What would be the toy?
It's giving like Cracker Barrel.
It would be, God, what's the right restaurant for this?
I'm thinking too.
I've got my own answer, but I didn't make Backrooms, so.
I wasn't taken to enough restaurants as a child. We were like,
hey,
we'll
do that, man.
We gotta
fix
that.
We'll take you there.
Chili's?
Company moved to, no, you
Chili's
can't pitch
is too,
two awards.
There's a warmth to Chili's.
You can't start with Cheesecake Factory and then go to Chili's. It's
what's something that has no, what's a place that has no warmth at all? That really is like
Cracker Barrel.
Captain D's, or like some place where you're like, how the fuck is there nine of them open in our city? I've never met sort of a single person that's went to a Wiener Schnitzel. Like,
oh, Wiener Schnitzel would be good.
Yeah,
Schnitzel
is a good one.
Okay, that's good.
Okay.
So or Long John Silver's.
That's sort of
okay,
what I mean.
Long John Silver's.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
what it is. That's what it is. Okay,
the, like a popcorn a chicken person. Meal.
Yeah.
That's okay. a really great question.
It's something that every movie maker needs to consider when they're
maker.
Pitching their movie. They have to think, what is the fast food tie-in?
The drywall meal.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Okay, so then Subway.
Okay, pivoting.
I have a partnership with Subway. I can't be saying that.
Okay. Really?
I cannot, no.
You know,
okay, I'm pivoting
let me
to
tell
another,
you,
another,
you
another.
Don't want to be the spokesperson for Subway.
Oh,
not
God,
a great
yeah.
track record.
If, okay, okay. If there were any director to direct Backrooms and it's not you, who would you want to direct Backrooms?
And was it ever like a question? Were you ever like, yeah, I could give this away? Or do you feel such like...
No, it's specifically I do it because I want to be doing it. Yeah. And I was enjoying it on YouTube. And then, you know, we had the opportunity for increased resources on this project. And so it's like, it's the same thing, just bigger. So it's like, if I was giving it away, there would be no point in doing it at all. So, you know, that'd be the answer. But I guess like...
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better. With new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect, the fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
I feel like, what would be, I don't like reducing it to a single answer where I think there's a lot of...
Each would be a different movie.
Each would be a different movie. I'm racking my brain right now.
What would be the most interesting director to do a Backrooms movie?
Tommy Wiseau.
Yeah.
That would be interesting. Yeah, got you there.
We have to get out of these rooms.
He didn't drop his next movie, did he?
Oh, with there's like a shark or something?
No, that's been out.
Oh, it's been out?
Or Francis Coppola.
Oh. Yeah. If he did like a Megalopolis treatment.
Struggling with the perfect answer
that's
to this
fine.
One. I think there's
okay.
like...
Well, maybe, okay.
I think it's very just dependent.
So Snyder,
you had a writer. Well, I don't want you to pitch a different writer, but I'm trying to think like who would write a weird Backrooms.
I think given that...
Charlie Kaufman.
Aaron Sorkin.
Yeah.
Aaron Sorkin's Backrooms would be funny.
One hallways forever.
Just walking, talking. So much talking.
I think a lot of people could do a lot of cool things with it. It's a very, I would, not to undersell the amount of work that goes into it, but I would say it's a very approachable sort of, there's many ways you can attack it.
And it's kind of like so. I always like this analogy, but it's like Batman, where it's like, I'm always going to be curious about someone's take on Batman.
I was just going to say a Ben Affleck Backrooms.
Yeah. Ben Affleck bath shocks in the bathroom.
But I feel like Backrooms really lends itself to like really kind of like one vision and that's a vision I think yours.
I think
like,
at least it
I don't
a
think
consistent
it's, I don't see like Christopher Nolan's Backrooms. I just feel like
the branding on that feels a little funny, but I think
Lee Cronin's Backrooms.
Lee Cronin's Backrooms.
I think you could name people like almost forever, and you could get a lot of cool movie ideas out of that. But I do think that like you know I think you're right. I think people need and require because of how this was birthed on the internet and how specific people are with information. You know, just being trained on like ARGs and web series. Like that's how I grew up. Like adjusting so much of that. So I'm like, okay. So I put out a thing. People are going to inspect like the you know like the if a plug socket moves an inch to the left between videos. That's a narrative. That's because the narrative needed it.
You had mentioned before, like, you would like to see this become like a limited series. Is that still where you're thinking?
Exactly.
Like, you
the
would
same.
Prefer it to go after.
Yeah, exact same thought process. I would love to get a one season.
And has the 72 pages of lore expanded into?
I've tried to like trim it down a little bit. Actually,
okay.
I think.
Yeah, have you ever like decanonized stuff? I remember that was my first question. Is like, is there stuff from early on in the series you're like, I wish I could change that because my thoughts on it have changed?
There's stuff I wish I could, but I don't unless it's a visual VFX glitch. Like there's stupid artistic things like a model clipping through the wall. I got up just because there's clipping in the series now. I have to clarify that was an animation error because I made this video kind of half as a joke. Don't take that seriously. I'm retconning that animation
I did see a theory
error.
Crafting about the first time you see the monster. It's like, oh, if you look, he's like already clipping through the thing.
Yeah, I did
like,
that first. The first video I did sort of, it was leaning, I would say firmly too hard into like the video game language of the original copypasta of like no clip out of reality. So I'm going to treat it realistically, but I'll just, you know, throw a bone and make it also like, what's another video game glitch artifact? T-posing and clipping through a...
Yeah.
If I had to see one, which one would I see?
But
I would start
retcons.
With the very first one.
I should watch the first.
Yeah, there's a playlist ever. On my channel yeah. which sort of has like the.
But it's Backrooms Found Footage is the title of the first one.
That's the first one, and it's like largely disconnected from the others in the way that like a pilot might be in mm-hmm. some ways, or like a concept
it's
short
a
film.
Good, yeah.
But it's like everything else after that is like where it gets into a real narrative.
And the first one kind of ends with like a bit of a jump scare. What are your thoughts on jump scares?
I mean, like I'm not.
Like, are you affected by them?
I think the thing about jump scares is they affect everyone for the most part, as long as
I know people who like not affected by them.
It depends on the person, but they're like the most universally effective form of like and really cheap. I hate them. Yeah. I hate them in that. Like,
how many jump scares are in the movie?
I hate the reliance. I think I guess it's like.
And what's the time code?
It's hard
asking for. A
it's hard to classify just because I think
so
what counts as a jump scare for one person
I can't do
might be different for another.
You did. You don't. You think jump scares are cheap, but you have some in your movie.
I should clarify. Essentially, I think that jump scares are like the one of the cheaper ways to get a jolt of adrenaline out of an audience. Mm-hmm. I think you can definitely earn them if you've earned them, and I don't think earning them is just like, oh, we're gonna drop all the audio down to silence. It, like usually, if you can see a jump scare coming, it's like don't love it. And when you can't, and if there's two, I think it's just the amount of them. Usually,
what's your favorite jump scare?
What feels like?
Do you have like a favorite jump scare?
I don't have a favorite. I can't think of one off the top of my head. But I think that like in the film, there's stuff that you very well could classify as a jump scare here and there. But I would say they're all fairly soft jump scares or silent jump scares.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, silent jump scares. Yeah. Those are
I like
good.
Those.
I prefer jump scares where we go to silence rather yes. than
dude,
noise.
It Agreed. Follows. Woo.
It Follows is a great, well, they do have some traditional jump scares, but they have some incredible
but some
silent,
where it's just like
no musical sting.
The
no,
tall guy just walking up. Have you seen It Follows?
I have not seen It Follows. I'm familiar with
some. Come on, buddy.
What's your favorite horror film?
Yeah, they got TVs at Cheesecake Factory. Let's go.
God, I am so, I don't even have a favorite. I don't like putting things like in a favorite box because
okay.
I think everything, so I think lots of things do different things and I don't actually consume, I don't have a lot of time to, I
that's fair.
Horror, I have a, I think I have a soft spot for in a lot of ways, but maybe not in the way that motivates me to, usually most of what I watch is not in the horror genre.
Okay.
But I think I definitely, am very familiar with the customs.
Could we agree on a horror movie that we tell you to watch? Like, what would
give,
be
give
your...
Okay,
I would say
I
Amour. Michael Haneke.
I would say The Thing.
Wait, what was
okay,
yours?
The Thing's good.
Amour. Michael Haneke.
Oh, yeah, I haven't seen
I would
it.
Say Hereditary.
I've seen Hereditary.
Okay.
Apparently, well, that's supposed to be the scariest
I don't
movie,
think...
Right?
It's not as scary as something that can actually happen in real life.
Yeah, I don't like
Hereditary?
I don't like scary
no,
movies.
No, I mean...
Yeah.
I mean
Hereditary happened to my good friends.
I personally am not... Maybe this is one to talk because of what Backrooms is. But again, I phrase Backrooms more as like a sci-fi techno thriller.
Yeah, thing. Yeah, yeah. But I'm very... Like, I'm not just saying this because you're here, but I'm like very excited to see this movie.
Yeah.
I don't like seeing scary movies, but I'll see movies like It Follows because I don't see that as like a... It's not like a, I'm going to stab you kind of scary movie. Yeah. It's like there's this thing that's always walking and never truly get away from it. Mm-hmm. And so there's that kind of like... There's that horror element of it that really, like, I love a good horror concept, like The Thing, which is similar, where it's like, you don't know who it could be.
Memories of Murder.
It was John Carpenter
that's
the whole time.
Murder.
It's kind of scary. It's just like this thing. It's like killing people.
And he remembers it.
The Bong Joon-ho movie?
Yeah.
The Thing being a person.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like a real life person.
A real life person is the scariest.
I don't find like I'm of the I'm with the camp where it's like non supernatural for me.
I don't like supernatural stuff. That's why I'm saying like
I don't buy
what's
it.
The other Haneke film that I really like where these people
I have a hard time
funny
mind games.
Funny games.
Have you seen Funny Games?
No.
He's only seen the American one.
Oh my God, Funny Games
are these
so
are kind of. Yeah,
but
those
I will
are
watch
kind
these.
Of like
I'll watch these.
What? They're scary.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just saying those are like kind of like niche
I also,
movies.
Funny
I
Games
is
kind of
something wrong.
Funny
with
Games
that.
Is so
I
scary.
I missed your answer, by the way. You're saying the non-supernatural is scarier to you?
Yeah.
Yes, I agree.
In terms of actually, I guess like I guess
it could be just a guy.
And I don't mean this to be like, oh, I'm so
logical.
Yeah, I don't want it to sound like that. It's just more of like, I think with fiction, probably because I spend too much time like. Working from the side of being a writer and director on this stuff is like I have a hard time actually getting like the anxiety that I hope for out of a film.
Zodiac.
Zodiac's great, but
the friggin' lake scene.
Okay,
that one's just in. That's just in the broad daylight, and it's like, how do you make something? Well, it's like backrooms. Backrooms is like totally
some of the most
lit.
Tense scenes and stuff, like stuff I would consider horror, like
daytime,
aren't usually in horror films. It's like stuff like that. It's like where it's just I don't know. I like seeing it inside of a broader thing that is not defined by the genre.
Yeah. Usually.
How do you decompress?
How do I decompress? Yeah. I make music.
Oh.
And so I did the score for the film, and so that was not actually that relaxing given the timeline.
It's still work. You're decompressing.
It was work
still
in that context, but I still enjoyed it. And I was able to bring a lot of what I've been doing for like years.
What program
series? I use FL Studio and just a lot of VSTs and a bit of the score we used.
Do you have like any traditional orchestra?
In the film, no. No. Oh, well, we have a little bit of like single instruments. We have like bass clarinets and some like fiddle stuff.
One dude
fiddle.
Tambourine.
Fiddle.
But if you're not like working.
Fiddle confirmed for Backrooms.
You had to record a pirate track.
You're so right.
What if you're like just not, okay, let's say you're decompressing, but it's not for work.
Music. I make music.
It's a lot of work.
Do you have any sick needle drops in the movie?
Yes.
Yes.
Really? Oh, wow.
There's one that people kind of already know about, which will be cool when they hear
it's
it.
Take on me when they're on the...
It's not.
Dude, like, don't give sick. A damn about my reputation.
There's one.
Oh, yeah. No, we can't even sing this.
I want to say where, but there's one that like I can't even legally talk about. It's so cool.
Okay. It's not like, cool. But it's not like Backstreet Boys.
No, it's something. I don't think anyone would be able to guess it.
Is it ABBA?
It, but it's like it'll be a thing.
You don't have to confirm it. I have an idea. Your like scientific agency is called Async.
Yeah.
Did you ever consider music by NSYNC?
I don't know if a lot of it would fit in the film, but no. I what is
you
the
got credits? Like,
the thing that I'm talking about? It's gonna be pretty cool.
Okay.
Can I do a slash serious?
99 red balloons.
Yeah. Slash serious. What were your like musical inspirations for the score on this?
So probably like it'd be a mixture of. Because it came from a body of work on the YouTube series. Mm-hmm. So like the YouTube series maybe pulls from some inspirations that don't make it to the film, but then the film is referencing the stuff made for the series. So there's a little bit of like, you know, like a feedback loop process where it's like the original stuff was largely derivative of like the Mr. Robot score by Matt Quayle and you know, some like, you know.
And that's your favorite show, right?
Yeah, it's my favorite show. I've watched it like 8 times. We actually have Sam Esmail's sort of been a friend on the film, which has been really cool, and he's moderating.
Wait, what if you had the Phil Collins needle drop from Mr. Robot in the movie? I think I'm cooking.
That actually, of all of them, could be kind of feasible. When did that song come out? What year?
Like 80.
Yeah. That'd totally be fine.
In the Air?
It's Take Me Home.
Yeah.
By Phil Collins.
Mm.
It might be Genesis. I'm actually not sure if it's Genesis or Phil Collins.
But yeah, I would say like the film has gotten to a place where it's like probably like fueled by like the ambient tracks from Portal. Like there's a lot of like early 2000s sort of like Silent Hill synth chord pad stuff.
Yep.
Mm.
Weird patches, some like weird Cristobal Tapia de Vere Utopia, you know, bendy things like, you know, synth.
This is Utopia?
No, Utopia. It's a British series from like 2013.
Any theremin?
No theremin. A lot of it was like early versions of Absinthe and like Reactor and stuff. Like, so it's like very like janky stuff made to sound kind of rich and atmospheric. And then definitely like some like 1 Hour Photo, which is a film I love.
I love 1 Hour Photo.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite films.
It's an incredible film.
It's amazing. Go watch it, guys.
All I know, but that's the one with the Evangelion scene, right?
Okay. Oh,
that's all I know about that movie.
Oh, like, and like Robin Williams, like he's Evangelion.
He's got the mass-produced Ava at the end.
Wait, what?
He shows off the mass-produced Ava, which is like canonically the worst guy, and he's like, this is the good guy or whatever. And it's just
canonically Robin Williams is an Evangelion ball knower.
Well, he's
except wrong about.
And except he's so wrong about it, like comically wrong.
Get in the Ava, Shinji.
Yeah.
Sorry,
that was pretty good.
Oh, thanks.
those music inspirations. Visually, we did all sorts of crazy stuff. I know I've talked about before. Like, I know you asked me, Anthony, how on earth do we make the movie feel like the stuff? Like, we did a bunch of interesting things where, you know, it was a pretty strong divide between inside the back rooms, outside. Like, when you're in there, we're shooting on like 12 to 15 millimeter for most of the inside the back room spaces. So tons of, you know, like I'd love to get way too close to the actors' faces when they're in these huge spaces and really just exaggerate. Although we didn't have to exaggerate. The sets were big. I've said it probably way too many times now, but it was like 30,000 square feet of set.
So the number 30,000 keeps getting thrown around. I have no concept of like what that actually.
Well, think about where you live. Do you know the square footage of where you live? Multiply it by that up to 30,000.
That's pretty crazy. Yeah, yeah.
It was, yeah, a pretty impressive build. Like,
mm-hmm. Wow.
Apologies to the, and also thanks to the construction team. Who,
a lot of steps.
Because the anecdote was like people were getting lost on set. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, I mean, it happened, but maybe not in like the, like we
it was,
would,
they were lost for
when,
hours.
When traveling between stages, we mm-hmm. would get turned around because like certain areas were like kind of covering the same ground because mm-hmm. we had to duplicate the set so we could film the same place in two locations. And like it was all right against, they would fill the stages to the absolute max. So you'd have to go around the fire lane or through the sets to get like to the
fire lane was like a back rooms of the back rooms.
Yeah, it's like, yeah.
The
it's
fire
like
lane little, that you can't find your way through so funny.
You know, and it's like darkish because, you know, we've got like the lighting because we are relying on the set lighting and so there was just oftentimes you would have to cut through the sets to get where you wanted to go and there's like doors and sometimes flats that are moving around. And,
wow.
Like,
imagine someone so not changes. Knowing they're filming the back rooms in there and they walk in they're like, oh, f***.
Yeah.
Just
yeah,
I mean, funny thing probably
I have a question. Did you pursue the actors or the actors pursued you to be the roles?
It was a bit of a mix. Like we had a great casting director, Whitney Horton, on this. And you know, it was when I was sort of prepping and like coming up with a, you know, basically a pitch deck for the film. And, you know, I very like specifically described what I was looking for in a cast. And we went out and found like a list that we were all getting excited about. And Chiwetel, I knew initially and I, you know, like touched back up on everything that he's done and made. And like, I very much.
Did you watch Four Brothers?
No, I mean, like, I like the stuff he's direct. I haven't seen everything he's been in.
So good.
I know I should. I again, like, not a lot of
was
movie watching.
Is he the bad guy in Hustle and Flow?
He's the bad guy in Four Brothers, and he is so scary.
I mean, he's also a great director. You know, like, when I met with him, like, it was right when I was doing the test shoot, like, the same day, like, that morning, woke up early because he's in the UK, and we spoke, and we had, like, a really nice, like, hour, two-hour chat, and just, like, I think one of the things I was, like, delighted about was that he just, you know, I kind of already knew this just based on the kind of stuff he interacts with, is he's, like, you know, he's a very curious person, and he understands, like, I think he finds a lot of satisfaction and he's just kind of fun in engaging with the scientific method through the lens of film and sort of using that as a backbone in some way. So like when we talked, it was like half the time was just about like the, you know, I've got a video in the series, which is like my favorite, where they just take apart the ceiling tiles and the troffer in the ceiling and look at the ballast and inspect the serial codes and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's like the little details that make up the broader, you know, it's a sci-fi conundrum that's going on, but it's like everything up close is, you know, pretty intricate.
Analysis.
Yeah, he totally has the same sensibilities. Yeah. And generally, and like culturally, he's got like perfect sensibilities for what the Backrooms is and needs to be and wants to be. And then when we were going a little bit further, I met with Renata, and it was a very similar experience mm-hmm. where she like, had a very like strong emotional connection to almost like a spiritual one to what was being touched on by Backrooms in terms of like the, you know, the,
dude,
the
she's
public.
So good.
She's so good.
She's great. She's great.
Did you watch Worst Person in the World?
Yeah.
Did you cry?
Everyone's,
she's such an incredible.
I don't know if I've.
I don't know if you've lived enough life yet, though.
I have not.
Bro hasn't lived enough life.
Go back and watch it when you're 30 and you're going to be like.
I do just want to say, like, it's so, like, I know it does feel like, oh, 20, like, it's the youngest director, but you look back at, like, you know, George Lucas or Sam Raimi or. You know, I'm trying to think of the
Orson Welles.
Yeah, it's like
Citizen Kane.
You have to invest
26.
In like these younger voices are the ones who are willing to try.
I don't think about my age at all, really, because I don't have time to. And it's like I feel weird and out of touch as soon as it gets brought up a little bit. And I don't mean to say that in this context, but I think what I can say that's productive maybe is that I think. Obviously, I had sort of created a viable model on YouTube, so I think you could at least look at that as like, you know, and anyone on the A24 board and looks at it and is like, okay, if you take this and upscale it, we could maybe, dollar signs, yay.
Yeah.
Like there could be an element of that, but I think also like what I found just with myself, because there's been a colossal amount of unknown unknowns going into this is like, and again, I'm not an authority on this. I don't even have a fully developed brain, but I guess that's also partially the point is like, I found that by, you know, getting into this space and having this opportunity at this point when I am like violently trying to cling on to like any sources of information and like trying to piece together an understanding of the world and just sort of creating habits is like that coinciding, I think has, you know, I feel has been a beneficial experience here where it's like, I've been able to I have not slept. I've not given a minute of any day mm-hmm. to anything other than this film in like 2 years. So it's like, I would say there's something to having the ability to, you know, this is the entirety of my life, and neurologically as well, is like I'm at a place where I'm very much latched onto it in like all ways. Even like the downtime is music for the sake of backrooms, and it's like, I think there's something to that. It can get extreme where you don't want to be like, you know, you've got like a lab
lined up for after you're done with the movie.
So Kane wins the movie out.
Yeah.
It's already out.
This is already out. Yeah, it's already out.
It's been out. What are you waiting for?
Why have you not watched it?
Go watch Backrooms.
16 and viral. Film? Come on, guys.
Go, all right. Get your special someone. Go to Cheesecake Factory. And then go see Backrooms.
Or Cactus
and then,
Club.
Or what?
Or Cactus Club
if you're up
they
in...
They got me too.
Okay.
Yeah. I have to bring the good word of Cactus Club back to Los Angeles now.
I'm franchising. Oh no, it's spreading now.
Let me franchise, please. I'll open the best Cactus Club this side of the Bay Area.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, well, this has been Smosh Asks. Thank you, Damien. Thank you, Spencer. Thank you, Olivia. I didn't intro you in the beginning, so people just have to figure that out.
It's fine.
But most of all, thank you, Kane, for coming on, talking about your big old movie.
The movie.
We're really excited for you. Yeah. I think we're all very excited.
I'm very excited for you.
Yeah, I appreciate it, guys. This was a lot of fun.
Hope we get some rest soon.
Me too.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.